Good evening.
Good evening.
Welcome to worship on this fifth Sunday of Easter, Easter Eve this evening. And if you're visiting us and worshiping with us virtually, we welcome you. We thank God for your presence and your worshiping with us tonight. A couple of announcements I want to highlight for you. First of all, you know that this is fishing opener weekend. And so if you're out there trying to get the big catch, don't forget that the most important catch of all is the faith of Jesus and having him in your life and being in his boat. And also we want to wish a blessed Mother's Day weekend to all the mothers. All of us are here because someone gave us the mothering love of God in our lives, and we give thanks to God for the gift of mothers. Remember to say thanks. Remember to offer a prayer of thanksgiving to God for the gift of mothering in your life. Starting on Monday, I will be having a chemo treatment for my pancreatic cancer, and so I would welcome all of your prayers. And also, next Saturday, Sunday, Pastor Tim Duesenberg, a friend of mine from Gift of Grace in Holman, Wisconsin, will be bringing the message and leading you in worship virtually as well. So please keep Pastor Tim Duesenberg and Gift of Grace and our beloved friends at Trinity Lutheran of St. Charles in your prayers as well. I believe those are the announcements that need to be highlighted, and so I would invite you to join with me in the brief order for confession and forgiveness, page 10 in With One Voice. We worship as we live, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In silence, let us confess our sins unto our merciful Lord. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare unto you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Our gathering hymn, Be Thou My Vision, With One Voice, number 776.
Riches I hid not, nor lay them deep.
Our service continues on page 28 of With One Voice. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Kyrie eleison.
Lord have mercy.
Christe eleison.
Christ have mercy.
Kyrie eleison. God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory.
Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God in the highest. Glory to God, glory to God, and peace to God's people.
Be with you
and also with you.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, your Son Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Grant us the grace to follow him and live lives of servanthood and truth through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
We prepare our hearts for the hearing of God's word.
Our first lesson is from Acts chapter 6, beginning with verse 1 through 9. Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. And a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people. Then some of those who belonged to the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, and of the Cyrenians, and of the Alexandrians, and of those from Cilicia and Asia, rose up and disputed with Stephen. And Stephen said, "You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who announced beforehand the coming of the righteous one, whom you have now betrayed and murdered. You who received the law as delivered by angels and did not keep it." Now when they heard these things, they were enraged, and they ground their teeth at him. But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." But they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed together at him. Then they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm is Psalm 146, and we will read it responsively. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul.
I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being.
Put not your trust in princes, in a son of man, in whom there is no salvation.
When his breath departs, he returns to the earth. On that very day his plans perish.
Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God.
Who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry.
The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind.
The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous.
The Lord watches over the sojourners.
He upholds the widow and the fatherless, but the way of the wicked he brings to ruin.
The Lord will reign forever.
Your God, O Zion, to all generations, praise the Lord.
The second lesson is from 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning with verse 2. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, "Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame." So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumbled because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. We sing together our Alleluia verse. Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in the God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, Show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Amen, amen, I say to you. Whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. At this time, then, I would normally be doing a children's message, but I've already posted it on our Emmanuel Facebook page. I encourage you to take your little ones or grandkids to that Facebook page and to watch the message. It's called Got Milk, but more importantly, have you got Jesus? He does the body good. Let's sing together with one voice, 781, My Life Flows On in Endless Song.
Joys and comforts die, the
Savior liveth. What though the darkness gather round, songs in the night he giveth. No storm can shake my inmost calm, while to that rock I'm clinging, since Christ is Lord of heaven and earth. How can I keep from singing? The peace of Christ makes fresh my heart, a fountain ever springing. From singing, no storm can shake my inmost calm. While to that rock I'm clinging, since Christ is Lord of heaven and earth, how can I keep from singing?
How can I keep from singing? Christ is the rock of our salvation. You have tasted and you have seen that the Lord is good. God is good indeed. Are you ready for a sermon? Well, St. Peter has a sermon for you. You know that beloved disciple of Jesus who denied his Lord 3 times, but when he was restored, he went and he preached the gospel. He proclaimed the good news and was eventually martyred for the faith. When he writes, when he preaches in our epistle reading for tonight, 1 Peter chapter 2, he is speaking from the heart. He is proclaiming the good news, the spiritual milk, if you will, the pure spiritual milk of Jesus Christ, crucified and risen for the forgiveness of sins. Peter is preaching to exile, scattered seeds of the dispersion. Peter is preaching to those who are called and chosen by God for sprinkling with the blood of Jesus Christ. Peter is preaching to those who are born again, Easter people. So what does it mean to be born again? Well, Peter says, all flesh is grass. It perishes. But the Word of God remains forever. That, my friends, is the pure spiritual milk that God has for you. That's why Peter says, like newborn infants, long desire, have a craving for that pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up into salvation. You have tasted that the Lord is good. Pure spiritual milk. The gift of grace that God gives to his beloved and chosen people for whom he has died on Calvary and been raised on the 3rd day. His gift of resurrection is a gift that God bestows upon us when we are sprinkled with the blood of Jesus. Got Milk. You remember that commercial? It came out, debuted out of California, actually, in the 1990s, 1993, and then eventually they came up with the mustache, you know, the milk mustache, and if you were somebody or anybody, I guess, you got to be a celebrity, a sports hero, and you had a milk mustache on a billboard or perhaps a famous newspaper or magazine. Did you know that milk is good for the body? Good for the bones, good for the teeth. In fact, I read this past week that the average American drinks 25 gallons of milk every year. That comes to 400 glasses of milk per individual per year. That means that the dairy cow, for example, is producing like 90 glasses of milk every single day. Now, you know that milk comes from coconuts and from almonds and from goats, and we get them from all kinds of sources nowadays. But Got Milk? More importantly, got Jesus? More importantly, Jesus has got you. Through his death and resurrection, he's gotten a hold of you, and he has named you as one of his sheep. He has claimed you as one of his own. That's what Peter is saying when he says, once you were no people, but now you are some people, God's people. Once you hadn't received mercy, but now by the grace of God, you've gotten mercy. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You're a chosen race. You're God's own possession. Why? Well, so that you may proclaim, preach the wonderful deeds of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. When I did my children's sermon earlier today and posted it, got milk, etc., I already got a couple responses. You see, it comes from the 1990s when I was doing a wedding. I was doing the premarital work with a young couple, Chuck and Sheila, and Chuck grew up in a dairy farming family. And I thought, well, this would be apropos. And so got milk, that's important. But more important, to make sure that you got Jesus in your marriage, got Jesus in your life. And so Chuck and Sheila, when they went to the state fair in Minnesota, you know how they always have that free milk stuff you can get? Well, they got a t-shirt for me that I had for years. And it said, got milk on it, and they had written also, got Jesus? Question mark. And on the back it said, they both do the body good. Yes, yes indeed. It was the debuting commercial on TV in 1993 that they first started doing this got milk stuff. And if you're kind of like shuttered in now with this COVID-19 and you're looking for something fun to do, well, go on your computer and Google 10 best got milk commercials. Here's the one that came up first. The very first one that debuted, okay? It ranks maybe number 5 on the all-time list. It's set in a museum, and there's a historian there, and it's dedicated to Alexander Hamilton. And so here is this curator, I suppose you would say. He's listening to the radio, and he's got this peanut butter, and he's got a knife, and he's got bread, and he's lathering it on there, and he's putting it in his mouth because he just loves to have it there, right? Peanut butter sandwich. And then all of a sudden, the radio guy says, well, it's time for that $10,000 question. Random. It's a hard one tonight. Who shot Alexander Hamilton in the duel? He knows it, but his mouth is stuffed with peanut butter. He reaches for the carton of milk, and there's none left in there. And so he answers the phone because they've randomly called him. This is the moment he's been waiting for. He knows the answer. Aaron Burr. But he can't get it out because his mouth doesn't have any milk. You see, my friends, what Peter is saying in his baptismal homily, in his sermon about what it means to be born again into the living hope of Jesus Christ, you can't survive without the pure spiritual milk, which is the Word of God, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he was crucified for the forgiveness of our sins, that there's salvation in no other name. Crave it, he says, long for it. Have that insatiable desire to have more of Jesus in daily life, every day, like a newborn. And if you grew up on a farm, for example, or if you've ever seen a litter of kittens, I'll tell you, when that baby is born, a baby calf, a baby kitten, man, they just go. They want the milk from the mom. One of the first gifts that a child receives is the mother's milk. What a gift. And Peter says, that's what God has for you. Because as we keep drinking day after day that pure spiritual milk of the gospel of Jesus Christ and his love for us, we grow up into salvation. You maybe heard people say, don't be a baby. Don't be a baby. Well, I'm here to tell you, in the words of St. Peter, like a newborn infant, be a baby and crave the pure spiritual milk of Jesus Christ. Crave it day after day. The pure spiritual milk. And then Peter moves in our epistle lesson to that image of stones, to that rock I'm clinging, the hymn that we just sang, right? No storm can shake me because the rock is Jesus Christ. He's the rock, the fortress of our salvation. And Peter says he's a living stone. Why? Because they tried to crucify him on a cross, and you can't put the Son of God to death forever. He rose on the third day, and now we, like living stones, are being anchored and fastened onto Jesus Christ, so that we too are being built up into a spiritual house. Wow, what a beautiful image, huh? That rejected stone has become the cornerstone. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. No merit of my own I claim, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Yeah, living stones. You see, I grew up on a farm, and I spent quite a bit of time pulling weeds. It seems like they never end. I spent quite a bit of time every year picking a rock. I remember when I did it for a neighbor, a farmer named Bumpy Peterson. And we had like pitchforks or we had shovels because sometimes the rocks get kind of large. And one day we're out in the field picking rock. And he said, Dave, run over there. You see that big stone over there? See if I need to come over there with my front end loader on the front of my tractor. So, you know, I wanted to be kind of cool. And so I went running over there lickety-split, and I had my shovel in my hand, and I got maybe about 8 feet from that stone, and whoosh, up it popped, and it went running across the field. Biggest jackrabbit I ever saw in my whole life. Scared the bejeebies out of me. I kid you not. I thought, wow, talk about a living stone, huh? If people don't believe in the resurrection, they should spend a little bit of time on the farm. Because I'll tell you what, we would pick that soil clean, and the big stones would all be gone. And 1 year later, they kept rising up. You see what Peter's saying? They keep rising up. You can't put a living stone to death because it's anchored on Christ, the rock of our salvation, rejected by some, but cornerstone for you and for me. Yes, once we were no people, now we're God's people. Once we hadn't received mercy, but now we've got mercy. Crave, desire, have an insatiable longing for the pure spiritual milk of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, what does this gospel look like? Well, the gospel reading for tonight comes to us from John chapter 14. It's in the farewell discourse. So John 13 through 17 is kind of like Jesus' rather lengthy goodbye before he's crucified on the cross and rises on the third day. In John chapter 13, Jesus washes the feet of his disciples and makes them clean. There's some protest, especially from Peter. And then Jesus announces around the table that his betrayer, Judas, is right there eating with them. And then Jesus looks at Peter and he says, you think you're going to go with me all the way to death, huh? Before the cock crows this night, you're going to deny me 3 times. I'm going to leave, and where I'm going, you can't come. That's chapter 13. Now, remember how chapter 14 begins? Let not your hearts be troubled. Yeah, like real? For real? Jesus is leaving. We can't go with him. One of us is going to betray him. One of us is going to deny him. We're all going to desert him. And we're not supposed to be worried or frightened or troubled. Jesus says, these are his words, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in the God Now, I know if you open up your Bibles, you'll say, what do you mean, the God? Because most of the translations, they leave the Greek word out. That's the definite article, T-H-E, the. It's there in the Greek. I'm not kidding you. Go ahead, check it out yourself. You see what Jesus is saying? There's not many gods. There is just one God. The rest are all fakes and phonies. The God of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jesus says, believe in the God. In my Father's house, there's lots of rooms, lots of abiding places, and I'm going to prepare a place for each one of you. That's why you don't have to be worried. You don't have to be troubled. You don't have to be frightened. I've got a place that I'm preparing just for you. It's got your name on it. And when it's ready, you think I'm going to send an errand boy after you? Ha! Not in your life. No, when it's ready, I'm going to come, and I'm going to take you, and I'm going to carry you, like a shepherd carries one of his lambs, right up to that place I've got ready for you. And you know the way to where I'm going. Thomas asked a question that's on our minds as well. Oh, wait a minute. We don't know where you're going. How can we know the way, the path, the road? And Jesus says, and there's the definite article again, my friends. He says, I am, ego eimi, the God of the burning bush. I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. I realize that might be offensive to some. It sounds so exclusive, but the love of Jesus is inclusive for all. But there is just the God, and there's just the way, the truth, and the life. It's Jesus, my friends. He's the good shepherd. He's the only gate that gets us into the sheepfold of God. Jesus announces to his disciples that whoever has seen him has seen the Father. The Father and I are one. And Philip says, well, just show us the Father and we'll be satisfied. And you can just, I think, see Jesus smiling, can't you? Maybe grinning, think, Philip, really? Have I been with you this long and you don't see? You don't see that when you get me, you get the Father? And when you get the Father, you get me? The gospel reading from John 14 is full of promises for those who are born again, full of promises for those who are living stones, full of promises for those who crave the pure spiritual milk of God and are growing up into salvation. Did you notice how it ends? Our gospel reading for tonight? Jesus says, after I'm gone, you're going to do greater things than I did. Say what? How is that possible? That you and I, living stones, born-again believers, Easter people, that we can do more than what Jesus even did. But that's his word. That's his promise for us. And then he says, and for all of us who sometimes are troubled by COVID-19 or by cancer or by other things that attack us, listen to what Jesus says. If you ask anything in my name, I will give it to you. Just ask in my name, Jesus says, and I'll give it to you. Well, that's not hocus pocus. To ask in Jesus' name is to pray for the will of our Heavenly Father to be done, because his will is absolutely perfect for you and for me. Absolutely. I read a story a couple of days ago. It took place in 1982. November 1982, the fifth leader of the Soviet Union, Leonid Brezhnev, was laying in state. He had died at the age of 75, like 1 month before turning 76. And so they had dignitaries from all over. Heads of state came to pay their respects. Common, ordinary citizens, they passed by during those days as the body of Brezhnev was laid out there, and then it came time to close the casket. And the last person that came there was Brezhnev's wife, Madame Brezhnev. She came up, spent some time there, right there at the casket, you know, with her husband laying in there. And then she took a step away. And so the honor guard was about to move in and to close the casket. And then all of a sudden, she turned back and went to the casket. Now, what she did, well, it's absolutely amazing. She made the sign of the cross upon Leonid Brezhnev. And she was proclaiming in an atheistic nation that declared there is no God, that there is the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power and wisdom of God. Oh, you see, my friends, you have tasted that the Lord is good. You know the promise. You know the way. You know the truth. You know the life. You know the gate. You know the good shepherd who has already laid down his life for you, one of his sheep. If you get a chance in the next day or two, read Acts chapter 6 and 7 and see how it plays out for those who are born again, like Stephen, who was set apart to be a deacon, to take care of widows and orphans, to wait on tables. And then before you know it, this living stone is doing signs and wonders. And before you know it, he's preaching the gospel, the pure spiritual milk. And then they put him to death. And even while he's being stoned to death, Stephen looks up and sees the Son of Man, Jesus, seated at the right hand of the Father. And he says, "Don't hold this sin against them." And holding the garments of those who were stoning Stephen was a man named Saul, who would become, by God's grace, the Apostle Paul. Ha. You see, God wastes absolutely nothing. You like milk? I love milk. Had some last night, you know, had some today, because my daughter had made some fresh cookies. You got a peanut butter sandwich? You got to have some milk. You got a nice sliver of pizza? You better have some milk. You got some fresh chocolate chip cookies right out of the oven? You gotta have milk. Got the milk? Yeah, I sure hope so. But even more so, I hope you got Jesus. You see, I've got good news for you, and I'm banking it on that Word of God, which is forever, non-perishable. Jesus has got you with his eternal, everlasting love and forgiveness. Cling to him. Crave him. Long for him. You can't get too much of him. So desire him every single day. No storm can shake my inmost self, huh? As long as I'm clinging to that rock. Beloved of God, crave the pure spiritual milk by which you are growing up into salvation, for you have tasted the goodness of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Our hymn of the day is called "You Are the Way." The words are actually printed in LBW 464, but they're also found on page 2 of the bulletin, and we're going to sing it to a familiar tune, "O God, Our Help in Ages Past." You need a copy of the hymnal, Marjean?
Let me just look up, "Oh God, Our Help in Ages Past." I'm so sorry.
You are the way, through you alone can we the Father find. In you impart. You only can inform the mind and purify the heart. You are the life, the empty tomb, proclaims your conquering come. And those who put their trust in you, not death nor hell shall harm. You are the way, the truth, the life. Grant us that way to know, that truth to keep, that life to win, whose joy's eternal flow.
We continue with our confession of faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We continue with our prayers.
Let us pray to our risen Savior on behalf of the Church, the world, and all people according to their need. Thank you, Jesus, for being the way to your Father's house, the truth that sets us free, and the life which raises us out of sin and death. We bless and adore you for being, above all, the love that will never let us go. Give us grace to share your love with everyone we meet, especially those who have lost their way, strayed from the truth, and are haunted by death. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Make the whole church on earth into your spiritual house of living stones, holy, precious, your prized possession and beloved body. Cause its words and deeds to proclaim the greatness of your salvation. Use it to call many people out of darkness into your marvelous light. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Like Stephen, there are many even today who are persecuted and tortured for proclaiming you as Lord. Give them the grace and strength that you gave Stephen to fearlessly speak your truth in love, to forgive and pray for their enemies, and to remain faithful to the end. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
You care tenderly for your people, especially the little ones who are laid in your arms. On this Mother's Day weekend, we ask your blessing upon mothers, foster mothers, and all who act with a mother's love. Give them your own patience, steadfastness, tenderness, and wisdom. Share your deep gentleness and strong love as they care for their children. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bless, heal, comfort, and sustain everyone who cries out to you for help, especially those we name.
Gracious Father, we pray this day for Dave and Barb Larson, for Jeff Bernard, for Trig Bergau, for Dan Brooklyn, Barbara Stephenson, Amy Cooper, Bernie Siebenaler, Denny Damerval, Kelly Stoyles, Sandy Sunday, and all those that we name before you in the silence of our hearts.
With the psalmist, cause them to say, happy are they who have the God of Jacob for their help, whose hope is in the Lord their God, who keeps his promise forever. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer. We praise and magnify you, dear Jesus. You prepare a place for us in the Father's house. Accept our prayers and lay them at the feet of your Father, who with you and the Holy Spirit reigns gloriously as our Lord and our God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Our sending hymn, I Know That My Redeemer Lives, and we'll sing four verses. Peace, serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.